ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय So we're reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 2, Chapter 9, Text 33. Aham evam sa eva gre nanyad yad sat asat padam paschat aham yad ekatscha yo vishishyeta sosyaham Soshaham, aham, I, the personality of Godhead. Eva, certainly. Asam, existed. Eva, only. Agre, before the creation. Na, never. Anyat, anything else. Yat, all those. Sat, the effect. Asat, the cause. Padam, the supreme. Paschat, at the end. Aham, I, the personality of Godhead. Yat, all these. Etat, creation. Cha, also. Ya, everything. Avishyate, remains. Sa, that. Asmi, I am. Aham, I, the personality of Godhead. Translation. Brahma, it is I, the personality of Godhead, who was existing before creation, when there was nothing but myself, nor was there the material nature, the cause of this creation. That which you see now is also I, the personality of Godhead. And after annihilation, what remains will also be I, the personality of Godhead. Translation responsibly. Brahma, it is I.
Brahma, it is I.
The personality of Godhead.
The personality of Godhead.
Who was existing before creation.
Who was existing before creation.
When there was nothing but myself.
Nor was there the
material
nature,
the cause of this creation.
That which you see now is also I,
the personality of Godhead.
And after annihilation,
what remains will also be I,
the personality of Godhead.
So this is a very important verse in the Srimad Bhagavatam, and it's quite a long purport, so we just have to stay with it. Prabhupada has placed a lot of emphasis on these purports, these chaturvashlokis, so we have to really focus on the purports here. We should note very carefully that the personality of Godhead is addressing Lord Brahma and specifying with great emphasis himself, pointing out that it is he, the personality of Godhead, who existed before creation. It is he only who maintains the creation, and it is he only who remains after the annihilation of creation. Brahma is also the creation of the Supreme Lord. The impersonalists put forth a theory of oneness in the sense that Brahma, also being the same principle of I, because he is an emanation from the I, the Absolute Truth, is identical with the Lord. The principle I, and that there is nothing more than the principle of I, as explained in this verse. Accepting the argument of the impersonalists, it is to be admitted that the Lord is the creator I, and that the Brahma and that Brahma is the created I. Therefore, there is a difference between the two I's, namely the predominator I and the predominated I. Therefore, there are still two I's, even accepting the argument of the impersonalists. But we must note carefully that these two I's are accepted in the Vedic literatures, the Katha Upanishads, in the sense of quality. The Katha Upanishad says, Nicho nichanam chetanas chetananam eko bahunam yo vidatyai kaman. The creator I and the created I are both accepted in the Vedas as qualitatively one because of them are Nitya and Chaitanas. But the singular I is the creator I, and the created I are the plural numbers because there are many I's, like Brahma and those generated by Brahma. It is the simple truth. The father creates or begets a son, and the son also creates many sons, and all of them may be one as human beings, but at the same time, from the father, the son and the grandsons are all different. The son cannot take the place of the father, nor can the grandsons. Simultaneously, the father, the son, the grandsons are one and different also. As human beings, they are one, but as relativities, they are different. Therefore, the relativities of the creator and the created, or the predominator and the predominated, have been differentiated in the Vedas by saying the predominator I is the feeder of the predominated I's. And thus, there is a vast difference between the two principles of I. In another feature of this verse, no one can deny the personalities of both the Lord and Brahma. Therefore, in the ultimate issue, both the predominator and the predominated are persons. This conclusion refutes the conclusion of the impersonalist that in the ultimate issue, everything is impersonal. The impersonal feature stressed by the less intelligent impersonalist schools is refuted by pointing out that the predominator I is the absolute truth and that he is a person. The predominated I, Brahma, is also a person, but he is not the absolute. For realization of oneself in the spiritual psychology, it may be convenient to assume oneself to be the same principle as the absolute truth. But there is always a difference of the predominator and the predominated and the predominator, as clearly pointed out here in this verse, which is grossly misused by the impersonalists. Brahma is factually seeing face to face his predominator, Lord, who exists in his transcendental eternal form, even after the annihilation of the material creation. The form of the Lord as seen by Brahma existed before the creation of Brahma, and the material manifestation with all the ingredients and agents of material creation are also energetic expansions of the Lord. And after the exhibition of the Lord's energy comes to a close, what remains is the same personality of Godhead. Therefore, the form of the Lord exists in all circumstances of creation, maintenance, and annihilation. The Vedic hymns confirm the fact in the statement, Vasudeva Vaidam Agra Asin Na Brahma Nacha Sunkara Eko Narayana Asin Na Brahma Nisana, etc. Before the creation, there was none except Vasudev. There was neither Brahma nor Sankarshan. Only Narayan was there and no one else. Neither Brahma nor Ishana. Sripad Shankaracharya also confirms in his commentaries on the Bhagavad Gita that Narayan, or the personality of Godhead, is transcendental to all creation. But the whole creation is the product of avyakta. Therefore, the difference between the created and the creator is always there, although both the creator and the created are of the same quality. The other feature of the statement is that the supreme truth is Bhagavan, or the personality of Godhead. The personality of Godhead and his kingdoms have already been explained. The kingdom of Godhead is not void or conceived by the impersonalists. The Vaikuntha planets are full of transcendental variegatedness, including the four-handed residents of those planets, with great opulence of wealth and prosperity. There are even airplanes and other amenities required for high-grade personalities. Therefore, the personality of Godhead exists before the creation, and he exists with all the transvariegatedness in the Vaikuntha lokas. The Vaikuntha lokas also accepted in the Bhagavad Gita as being of the Sanatana nature and not annihilated even after the annihilation of the manifested cosmos. Those transcendental planets are of a different nature altogether, and that nature is not subjected to the rules and regulations of material creation, maintenance, or annihilation. The existence of the personality of Godhead implies the existence of the Vaikuntha Lokas as the existence of a king implies the existence of a kingdom. In the various places in the Srimad Bhagavatam and in other revealed scriptures, the existence of the personality of Godhead is mentioned. For example, in the Srimad Bhagavatam 2.8.10, Maharaj Parikshit says, asks, Sachapi yatra purusho visvastif udabhav paraya muktatva mayam mayesha seta sarva guasaya. How does the personality of Godhead, the cause of creation, maintenance, and annihilation, who is always free from the influence of illusory energy and is the controller of the same, lie in everyone's heart? Similar question was also asked by Vidura. Tatvanam Bhagavam Tesham Katidha Parisan Karma Tatre Ma Ka Upastran Ka U Svida Anushreta. Bhagavatam 3.7.37. Sridhar Swami explains in this in his notes, during the annihilation of creation, who serves the Lord lying on a sesha, etc. This means that the transcendental Lord, with all his name, fame, quality, and paraphernalia, exists eternally. The same confirmation is in the Kashya Kanda of the Sakanda Purana in connection with Dhruva Charita, and it is said there, Nachayantvatva ne pi yad bhakta mahat yam pralaya padhi ato chuno kila loke sa eka sarvago vyaya. Even the devotees of the personality of Godhead, even the devotees of the personality of Godhead are not annihilated during the period of the entire annihilation of the material world. Not to speak of the Lord himself. The Lord is ever existent in all the three stages of material change. The impersonalists adduce no activity to the Supreme. But in this discussion between Brahma and the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Lord is said to have activities also, as he has form and qualities. The activities of Brahma and the other demigods during the maintenance of the creation are to be understood as the activities of the Lord. The king or the head executive of a state may not be seen in the government offices, for he may be engaged in royal comforts. Yet it should be understood that everything is being done under his direction and everything at his command. The personality of Godhead is never formless. In the material world, he may not be visible in his personal form to the less intelligent class of men, and therefore he may sometimes be called formless. But actually, he is always in his eternal form, in his Vaikuntha planets, as well as in other planets of the universe as different incarnations. The example of the sun is very appropriate in this connection. The sun in the night may not be visible to the eyes of men in the darkness, but the sun is visible wherever it has risen. That the sun is not visible to the eyes of the inhabitants of a particular part of earth does not mean that the sun has no form. In the Brihad Ankarayanka Upanishad 1.4.1, there is the hymn, Atmavedham Agra Asit Purusha Virha. This mantra indicates the Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna even before the appearance of Purusha incarnation. In the Bhagavad Gita 15.18, it is said that Lord Krishna is Purushottama because he is the Supreme Purusha, transcendental even to the Purusha Akshara and the Purusha Akshara. The Akshara Purusha, or the Mahavishnu, throws his glance over Prakriti, or the material nature, but the Purusha existed even before that. But Purushottama existed even before that. The Brihad Ankarayanka Upanishad therefore confirms the statement from the Bhagavad Gita that the Lord is the Supreme Person, Purushottama. In the Vedas, in some of the Vedas, it is also said that in the beginning only, in some of the Vedas, it is also said that in the beginning only the impersonal Brahman existed. However, according to this verse, The impersonal Brahman, which is the glowing effulgence of the body of the Supreme Lord, may be called the immediate cause, but the cause of all causes, or the remote cause, is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The Lord's impersonal feature is existent in the material world, because by material senses or material eyes, the Lord cannot be seen or perceived. One has to spiritualize the senses before one can expect to see or perceive the Lord. But he is always engaged in his personal capacity, and he is eternally visible to the inhabitants of the Vaikuntha Lokas, eye to eye. Therefore, he is materially impersonal, just as the executive head of the state may be impersonal in the government offices, although he is not impersonal in the government house. Similarly, the Lord is not impersonal in his abode, which is always nirasta kuhakam, as stated in the very beginning of the Bhagavatam. Therefore, both the impersonal and the personal features of the Lord are acceptable, as mentioned in the revealed scriptures. The personality of Godhead is very emphatically explained in the Bhagavad Gita in connection with the verse Brahmano hi parashitadhamma, Bhagavad Gita 14:27. Therefore, in all ways, the confidential part of the spiritual knowledge is realization of the personality of Godhead and not his impersonal Brahman feature. One should therefore have his ultimate aim of realization not in the impersonal feature, but in the personal feature of the absolute truth. The example of the sky within the pot and the sky outside the pot may be helpful to the student for his realization of the all-pervading quality of the cosmic consciousness of the absolute truth. But that does not mean that the individual part and parcel of the Lord becomes the supreme by a false claim. It means only that the conditioned soul is a victim of the illusory energy in her last snare. To claim to be one with the cosmic consciousness of the Lord is the last trap set by the illusory energy, or Devi Maya. Even in the impersonal existence of the Lord, as it is in the material creation, one should aspire for personal realization of the Lord, and that is the meaning of the Paschit Aham Yat Echat Chayo Vashishyate So Shyam Aham. Brahmaji also accepted the same truth when he was instructing Narad, and he said, Soyam Te Bihitas Tata Bhagavan Visva Bhavana. Bhagavatam 2.750. There is no other cause of all causes than the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Hari. Therefore, this verse, Aham Eva, never indicates anything other than the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Supreme Lord. And one should therefore follow the path of the Brahma Sampradaya, or the path of Brahmaji to Narad, to Vyasadeva, etc. Make it a point in life to realize the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Hari, or Lord Krishna. This is very confidential instruction to the pure devotees of the Lord, was also given to Arjuna and to Brahma in the beginning of creation. The demigods like Brahma, Vishnu, Maheshwara, Indra, Chandra, and Varuna are undoubtedly different forms of the Lord for the execution of different functions. The different elemental ingredients of material creation, as well as the multifarious energies, also may be of the same personality of Godhead. But the root of all of them is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna. One should be attached to the root of everything, rather than bewildered by the branches and leaves. That is the instruction given in this verse. Wow. Hare Krishna. Amagana Timiranda Shyaganjana Shalakaya Chakshura Militam Yena Tasma Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Krishna Jaitanya Prabhu Nichananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaur Bhakta Brinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So Srimad Bhagavatam. This is a very important verse. Srila Prabhupada points out in the last sentence, one should be attached to the root of everything rather than bewildered by the branches and leaves. So Krishna is the root, the eye, and nothing else matters. So we focus on the I, Krishna, the Supreme. That's the instruction given in this verse. In the Vedic Sutras, the question was raised, who is God? The Vedic Sutra said, Atato Brahmajigyasa. And now we should inquire, who is God? Where is God? And this is the question that's asked so many times, so often by so many people throughout all walks of life. Pretty well everybody at some point in their life asks the question, who is God and what's my relationship to God? And God is explained in the Vedanta Sutra, Janmadi Ashayata. God is he from whom everything emanates. Everything comes from God. That is God, the Supreme Being from whom everything emanates. Only God exists. Everything emanates from him. Both the material world, the spiritual world, everything comes from him. This is what Prabhupada is emphatically trying to point out to us, that everything comes from God. In Bhagavad Gita also it said, Aham savasya prabhavo matasvavam pavatate iti matvam bhajanti mam buddha bhava samavitaha. Everything. I'm the source of all material and spiritual worlds. Everything emanates from me. And the wise who know this perfectly engage in my devotional service and worship me with all their heart. So we have to become wise. We have to become intelligent and engage in devotional service and worship the Lord. These are very, very... That verse is also part of the Chaturshlokas of the Bhagavad Gita, and this is the Chaturshlokas, the nutshell of the Bhagavad Gita, the most important verses. Srila Prabhupada states that the impersonalists are very fond of taking advantage of this verse because they think everything is ultimately one. And they think, okay, God is everything. Everything comes from God and everything goes back to God, which is stated in this verse. There is only one God. Everything is an illusion apart from God. God is in the, it only exists. So if God only exists, I'm part of this creation, then I must be God. So this is their false understanding of this verse. And Srila Prabhupada explains that the Lord exists eternally, but yet the Lord expands unlimitedly to the different jiva atmas. So Krishna is explaining that he is giving. All the living entities are expansions of him. The jiva atmas are his marginal energy. The tatakshita shakti, and it's also spiritual energy, and there's the material energy. But this marginal energy, Prabhupada states, Lord Krishna is the source of all generations. He is called the most efficient cause of everything. He says that because everything is born from me, I am the original source of all. Everything is under me. No one is above me, Krishna says. There is no supreme controller other than Krishna. One who understands Krishna in such a way, from a bona fide spiritual master and from the Vedic literatures, who engages all his energies in Krishna consciousness, becomes totally learned man or woman, in comparison to him or others who do not know Krishna properly and are but fools. So this is the most important point to understand, that God is a person and everything emanates from him. Nityo nityanam chaitanas chaitananam, as was mentioned in this purport. Krishna is the Supreme Person and we are also persons. What is our position? Eku bahunam vidhati kamam, that we are dependent persons. We are dependent persons, and he is the maintaining person. Krishna looks after us. So our position is always being a dependent personality, is always jivara swarupoya Krishna nityadas. We are always the servant of Krishna, and that is the version, that is the understanding that Lord Chaitanya has brought in his message to the world. So we are one of the energies of the Lord, the marginal energy. And marginal means that we have just a little tiny bit of independence. We've got a little bit of independence. We are minute parts and parcels, and therefore we've got we have an independent quality because Krishna has independence. But not, we are not in full. Krishna has independence in full. We are controlled. We are actually controlled. We like to claim independence. We love that very much, you know. No one can tell me what to do. I'm independent. I'm my own man. My own person. But that does not mean we're fully independent. Prabhupada gives the analogy of the government. A government may say we are an independent nation. And just because we live in that nation, we also think we're independent. But we are subordinate to the government's rulings. We can't just do what we want to do. We have to be mindful of what the government has set out for us to do. So there are these are things we are dependent on Krishna as well. The living entity has got independence, but not full independence. Krishna has independence in full, and he can do anything that we cannot. And we cannot do anything without the sanction of the Supreme Lord. It has to be sanctioned. So everything we do has to be sanctioned by the Lord. The living entity is a servant of the Lord. That's our role. Krishna does. It's our eternal natural position of love and servitude to the God, to the Lord. This actually satisfies us to be a servant of the Lord. There's nothing more satisfying than to be the servant of the Lord. And here we have this situation where Lord Brahma is coming to that realization that actually nothing is better than just to be the servant of the Lord. Here he was in darkness, placed in this position on the lotus, not knowing what the hell was going on. He was there in this darkness. And he stumbled down to try and figure out what was happening, why he was here. He had a sincere desire to find out the truth. He went up and down the stalk to try and find where's the truth. And then the Lord instructed him from within his heart, and told him that he should perform tapasya, tapa. And so then Lord Brahma performed this tapasya. He did this service that was asked of him of the Lord. And Lord Krishna, the Lord was very pleased with that. And when he was pleased with that, then he appeared before him. And so it's after pleasing the Lord in service that Krishna reveals himself to us. And Brahma understood the master-servant relationship that he had with the Lord. And this is our relationship. So our forgetfulness of our constitutional position is like that state of darkness. It's like that state of darkness. Forgetfulness of our position of the Lord. That we are simply servants of the Lord. And this is drummed home in this purport, that we are servants of the Lord, and these shlokas also. We can never forget our position as servants of the Lord. And to forget our relationship with the Lord like that is like to actually forget. It's like a soul is lost, although the soul can never be lost. But it's like we're lost, we're clamouring, like Lord Brahma going up and down the stem of material creation. We're lost. So the example is given in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, which is a really nice example. There it's explained that you have a rich man, very wealthy personality. He has many, many riches. And he has a son who's entitled to all his inheritance. He's very, very rich and he's entitled to it. Now the father has placed this wonderful treasure somewhere very, very safe. But the son has forgotten where father has placed this treasure. The father has passed away and he can no longer ask him, where have you placed this treasure? That's mine, my inheritance. And so unfortunately the son has to live his life as a pauper because he has no access to that treasure. This is the example that's given in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. So our situation is like that. We're actually here, we have a spiritual treasure trove waiting for us, our connection, our relationship with Krishna. But somehow or other we're in this darkness and we can't get to that treasure. We just find it inaccessible. So the great learned sages, the sages of the past have recommended, wake up, sleeping souls. Wake up to your real inheritance. This is what's required. You have to wake up to who we really are. We're parts and parcels of the Supreme Lord, and our position is with him in the spiritual world. So the Supreme Lord or his representative comes again and again and again to remind us what we've forgotten. So time and time again the Lord comes. And then one time Srila Prabhupada, with an interview with a reporter, was asked, why Srila Prabhupada came to the Western world? And Prabhupada said, I've come to remind you of what you have forgotten. Prabhupada said, I've come to remind you of what you have forgotten, that we are all servants of God. I haven't come to convert you, Prabhupada, because this is always a major thing with people. You know, I mean, especially also my dealing with interfaith groups and so on and so forth. When we present the philosophy, we always say, I'm not out to convert you. Because so many people in different religions have this fear that somehow or other, by my association with you, a person from another faith, somehow or other you're going to influence me and stop me from my belief, somehow change me. So Prabhupada made it emphatically clear to the reporter, I haven't come to convert you. I've simply come to remind you of what you have forgotten, that you are a servant of God, and I've come to enlighten you as to who you really are. Prabhupada said that to the reporter, I've come to enlighten you about who you really are, that you're a servant of Krishna. It's really interesting, you know, because in my dealings with interfaith groups, I just recently had a really interesting conversation with somebody at a hospital. And they were saying, you know, sometimes when a chaplain, a Vaishnava chaplain, presents a particular philosophy and says, well, you know, actually, there is only one God, and my God is the same as your God, and, you know, basically we're just worshipping different names of God. But actually, from our point of view, we can see the universality of God, and God is coming in different forms through the teachings of Lord Jesus or so on and so forth. And we can see that quality of God, that it's the same God, just that, you know, we give that analogy that the sun rises, the sun is the same sun all over the world. But yet, some people of different religions say, that's your opinion. But my belief is that my God is different from your God. And I'll respect your belief that you believe your God, and I'll believe my God. But from our point of view, sometimes we think, hang on, it's the same God, but they won't accept that. So this is foolishness. So Prabhupada said that I've come to give you what you've forgotten, that you are a servant of God. Yadahi dahi dharma shaglani bhavati bharata. Krishna says that in Bhagavad Gita, whenever there is a decline in religious principles, I descend, O son of Bharat. I mean, I will... when there's a rise of irreligion, I'm there, I'll come. So in this age, Srila Prabhupada has come to the Western world to relieve us of this anxiety. He has come to remind us of what we've forgotten. We've forgotten this great treasure that's ours, the spiritual world. And as we practice our sadhana, as we practice our Krishna consciousness, that becomes more obvious as to what an incredible treasure we have. You know, and it just opens up. Like, say, for example, when we were sitting here the other day and Burjan was giving a class, and he was a very advanced devotee, in touch with Krishna. And when he's explaining the spiritual world, you know how he just goes on about the different aspects of Krishna. Krishna saying this. And Krishna. I mean, he actually sees this, you know, and he imparts it onto us, and we actually feel it. You know, and this is a wonderful thing. It's not just storytelling, and it's a great treasure that we have. So, recently we had the pastimes of of Hiranyakashipu and Lord Nrisimhadev, right? And Hiranyakashipu was a very, very powerful personality. We read the pastimes and we heard the pastime. How powerful a demon he was! You know, he was very, very powerful. So powerful but he could not accept that God was a person. He couldn't accept the fact that somehow or other there was someone greater than him. He was totally in that sort of thing. When one has this obsession that there is no one more powerful than me, and we all suffer from this Hiranyakashipu syndrome, we all have that deep within our resources that actually no one's really better than me. We have to knock that out, because as long as we have this Hiranyakashipu syndrome of I'm the most powerful, some express it more than others, there is havoc and there's restlessness, just as Hiranyakashipu was always worried what's going on. And when he was challenged by his own little son, this little kid, he was completely frustrated, you know, and restless and agitated. How can there be somebody more powerful than me? So this is one of the things. Power, or great power, is unbearable. When one has that, it's unbearable to hear that someone has a greater power than you. It's unbearable. We see it played out all the time in politics, you know. If anybody watched the theater of politics sometimes, you know, like you have Tony Abbott and John Howard or whatever, And they're all playing for position, you know. I'm more powerful and he's more powerful and I'm more powerful. So the secret message that's being imparted here in these beautiful slokas, the secret, most confidential knowledge, and what we have forgotten, is that our eternal nature is actually to be the servant, is simply to be a humble servant, and not to be locked up in this understanding that I have to achieve so much power for myself. It's simply to let go of all power, let go of all pride, let go of all sort of anartas that are hanging on in our consciousness, and simply understand that Krishna is the supreme and my role is one of servitude to him, and be done with it. That's the secret. And then what happens is, as Krishna is pointing out, the secret is then the devotee must distribute this knowledge. A devotee can't do anything but distribute this knowledge when it actually becomes rooted in the heart of a devotee with understanding that my position is one of servitude to the Lord. So, you know, this knowledge has been lost. This understanding has been lost. And just like, say, for example, if you continue on with the government analogy, you know, sometimes they put advertisements on the TV saying there is so much lost money, you know, and they advertise people's have forgotten superannuation policies that they've had, and there's millions and millions of dollars in the stockpile in the Treasury House that people have forgotten, like bank accounts that they've closed some time ago and had this accrued interest and so on and so forth. So the government advertises, come and collect your money, go online, print your name, maybe there's some money there for you. So in the same way as the devotee of Krishna, when we realize the truth of our constitutional position, we should advertise as much as possible to advertise to the general people that there's something really valuable for you to collect. And we should be constantly trying to figure out how we can spread this knowledge in different ways in time and place. Now, we're not all the same. Everybody has a unique way of presenting this philosophy in one way or another. And so even within our Krishna consciousness, we see one person is directing their attention in enlivening people in a particular way, and another group of people are doing something else in a different way. But each one of us is trying to somehow or other connect people with Krishna. Like recently, I've just been talking to Priyavrata Prabhu a lot. We're trying to develop the Food for Life Global more on a more sustainable level. He's just been doing it all by himself, and it's a difficult job, presenting Food for Life and helping out. And his mission, and the mission of Food for Life Global, is that somehow or other we distribute prasadam to as many people. And we distribute it at a time of necessity when people are in dire straits, when there is catastrophes. So that's one way of doing it. And another person may be doing it a different way. So we have to try in different ways. The main thing is if we are getting some sort of understanding of our constitutional position, we should endeavour with every ounce of our existence to try and pass that on to someone else. We should never, and this is a point that's mentioned time and time again throughout the Shastra, and Prabhupada was emphatic about this, we should not, there is no time for lethargy or laziness or false ego. So, for us to really realize and concrete our relationship with God and to really cement this understanding that I am a servant of God, the best way to do that is to preach this philosophy, is to teach this philosophy, is to present this philosophy and not be lazy about it. Really make an endeavor. Prabhupada has pointed out that actually laziness in Krishna consciousness is spiritual death. Laziness in Krishna consciousness is spiritual death. If we become lackadaisical about our devotional kripa, if we become lackadaisical about presenting this philosophy. So when we wake up in the morning, we should think, how can I present this Krishna consciousness in my own unique way today? And as we go to bed at night time, we have to actually analyze ourselves and say, what have I done to present this philosophy to someone else today? Have I done something? Have I connected with someone? Have I presented this understanding that God is the supreme and I am simply the servant? That I'm not after power, I'm not after prestige, I'm not after all these false ego things. I'm after simply to be the humble servant of Krishna. Have I done that today? And we should analyze that. The servants of Srila Prabhupada work hard, give everything they've got. There's no point of being lazy in our preaching. With Prabhupada, this is a great statement that Prabhupada often make, you know. Samadhi first. What is it? Samadhi, preaching first, samadhi later, right? This is the mentality of a devotee, and it was especially very, very much so in the early days of Krishna consciousness. We had to set up this Krishna consciousness. So we forfeited so many different things, you know, to get out there and preach, to get out there and set things up, to make money, to build the temple, to present the books, push out the books. This was emphatically encouraged by the temple leaders, that we should, you know, not worry so much about our own spiritual development. Yes, follow your sadhana diligently, chant your rounds diligently, but in the same token, get out there and start preaching. It was interesting the other day, just as an aside, you know, generally people, 99% of the population is actually really interested in Krishna consciousness, you know, in finding out the truth. And it's amazing if you present it in a particular way, how all of a sudden that comes out of the person. Like we had the other day, I had to have removalists in to move some stuff that my brother-in-law had to go up to Darwin, so we got these removalists in. Now, a removalist is, you know, a sort of a real rugged sort of individual. Most, you know, not very well educated and, you know, sort of a labourer-style person. Two Aussie yobos, you know. There you go, mate. And somehow or other, on the front of our house we have that I teach meditation and that this is a community, Krishna conscious community outreach program here and so on and so forth. Anyway, they read this and they said, so you teach meditation? And I said, yeah, I do. Tell me about it. You know, and we went into this whole thing about the Supreme Lord, our connection to the Supreme Lord, and they accepted it, and they wanted to know more. Now, these are just everyday Australian people, but in a particular way, I was able to connect with them. So it may not be that if I was presenting myself as a Hare Krishna devotee, chanting robes and everything, they may have been a little, ooh. But because I was in my sloppy joes and I was at home, but yet there was somehow or other connection with meditation and the Krishna consciousness movement they wanted to ask about. And so they said, now, here's my email. Can you send me any information? And we gave them some literature and Prabhupada's books and so on. So everyone is actually interested, and you'll be so surprised. You just have to be intelligent as to how you can bring it into the conversation when you're meeting people. So I honestly encourage people to have that consciousness. You know, after you've chanted your rounds, after the morning program and everything, you make a little prayer before the deities and you say, okay, my Lord, how can I encourage someone in their Krishna consciousness? How can I give this great knowledge that there is only one God and we're simply emanations of the Supreme and our position is one qualitatively the same but quantitatively quite different, and our position is one of servitude to you, to the Supreme Lord. How can I give that to someone today? Guess what? The Lord will make an arrangement for you. The Lord will make an arrangement for someone, some jiva to come along and say, tell me about this God that you worship, you know? Tell me about Krishna consciousness. And then at the end of the day, when you're just about to go to bed and your last prayer before you go to bed, you know, you say, thank you, my Lord. You've allowed me to pass this message on to someone else. It is emphatic. The population is in dire need of spiritual emancipation. They are slaves to the material world. And we are also still connected to that slavery. But we have the message for emancipation. And this is our duty, to actually free people from that. Deliver people. When we connect with people, we can see that when it's all said and done, most people are really interested in knowing the truth. We just have to become expert in presenting the medicine. You know, we've got the medicine that's been given to us. So Srila Prabhupada points out here, Krishna takes special appreciation for his devotees who are engaged in risking everything for his preaching work, and he will give you special care and guidance at the time because you are sincerely trying to serve him in this way. So Krishna will actually protect you in so many ways, but we must carry out the mission of the Lord in all circumstances. Hare Krishna, come in. Come in, welcome. Hare Krishna. So it's the nature of the Kali Yuga. People want to pulverize smaller people. So much power do I have and more do I want. So this power thing is obsession with people. We must overcome our lower tendencies of laziness and lethargy and pride and false ego by humility. So simply by being humble, not wanting power, not wanting prestige, just being a humble servant of the Lord, irrespective of what we do in a day, we're simply humble servants of the Lord. And yes, we're part and parcel of God, and therefore we're also little gods, in a sense, when you analyze it. But we're servant to gods. There's the predominating God and there's the servant of God. So Krishna is being pointed out here in the purport by Prabhupada. He is the predominator, I, and all the living entities are the predominated, I. So this is the difference. We have failures in our preaching sometimes. You know, when we're trying to get this message out to people, sometimes things don't work out. But we shouldn't be disheartened by that. You know, say for example, if you've made that solemn prayer in the morning, my dear Lord, please engage me in some way of reaching a person, and I have this plan. If I do this, then I'll be able to engage in people. And sometimes those things are a failure. And in my 35 years of devotional service, we've done different things. We've set up centres. We've done Food for Life down near Seaford. We've done so many different things. Sometimes you review your life, Bhakti and I sometimes review what we've done. And say, my God, can you remember when we did that? We had a preaching centre in Geelong and we had a preaching centre in Seaford. And sometimes it worked out and sometimes it didn't. But you have to keep on going. You have to keep trying. And you have to see that every endeavour that you make in preaching to someone, enlivening someone in their real position to Krishna, is like a stepping stone, another stepping stone in ultimate success. There are so many instances also that we see in Prabhupada's life that there were instances of setbacks. But Prabhupada never ever took it as a finale or I'm finished here or whatever, it doesn't work. He kept going, you know. There were so many heart attacks and paralysis in the early days, you know. But he kept on going. Even prior to him coming to the Western world, the whole Jhansi experience, you know, it was not a success. But Prabhupada wasn't dismayed by that. It was just another stepping stone. And then he went to Vrindavan and studied the Bhagavad Gita there and diligently until the time was right for him to come to the Western world. So we shouldn't be discouraged. We shouldn't be discouraged and we should constantly be happy in our service to Krishna. Because that's what it does to you also. Krishna consciousness and actually teaching this philosophy to others actually gives you great joy, gives you great happiness. Happiness is a state of mind. It is not necessarily, you know, when you're sitting in a comfortable chair and you've got, you know, someone is fanning you or whatever, that's when I'm happy. No, happiness is a state of mind. And the greatest happiness is when we're teaching this knowledge to others, when we're passing this knowledge on to others. And Bhujan made a really interesting thing. He mentioned one thing that was really interesting. He said that a devotee who is constantly engaged in preaching is joyful. So you can tell a person that's genuinely really fired up and in the fire of Sankirtan and out there outreaching to people and is not lazy or expressing lethargy in their sadhana and chanting and everything by how joyful they are. If a devotee has a smile on their face, it's not because they've had a nice cream pie or something, it's because they've actually had an opportunity to preach. And that joy is so deep and so fulfilling that you want more and more and more of it. And Bhurajan was saying that joyfulness means that they're actually getting closer to Krishna. Because Krishna is all joyful, extremely all joyful. So by getting close to Krishna, how do we get close to Krishna? We get close to Krishna by presenting this philosophy. Krishna says that in Bhagavad Gita. No one is more dear to me than that person that is presenting this philosophy, that is giving this to other people, giving this message to other people. So we have to train our mind. This is the point of Krishna consciousness through our sadhana, through reading. We can't be lazy. We have to diligently chant honestly every day. We have to make the endeavor to read Srila Prabhupada's books, to listen to the lectures of our spiritual preceptors and our teachers and our mentors. We have to really imbibe this knowledge. Don't be lackadaisical about it. Really become engrossed in it. And then every situation, whether it's good or it's bad, will be a joy for you. It doesn't make any difference. It'll be a great opportunity. Our prayer should be in difficult situations. Thank you, Krishna. I deserve much more. Like recently, my brother is in hospital and I had to go and see him yesterday. And he's had this ongoing disease of his leg, which has had operation after operation after operation. And he cannot understand why this is happening to him. And he's full of misery about this whole thing. And he can't relate to it, you know. It's all such a downer. If these things happen to us in Krishna consciousness, we can see it as simply somehow or other, it must be something that I've done in my past, and be grateful that in this condition, how can I preach? How can I still continue on? So our prayer is, I offer my obeisances in gratitude to you, my Lord. Let me see what service I can render to you in any circumstance, whether they be adverse conditions or wonderful conditions. Let me just serve you. This is our prayer every day, that we can just serve Krishna. And Srila Prabhupada, as I said, is our example. He constantly prayed to the Lord, let me just do your service. Let me just fulfill the desire of Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Maharaj. Let me just be a good disciple. Let me just be a humble disciple. Krishna is the root of all things, and we are his servants. And that is our constitutional position of happiness, just to be the humble servant. Don't be bewildered by the leaves and branches of material nature and illusion. This is the message of this verse. Don't be bewildered by the phantasmagoria of material energy. Be a strong devotee. Be an enthusiastic devotee. Be a joyful devotee. And if you're not feeling those things, then ask why. And ask your God brothers and sisters, why? Why am I not feeling this happiness? And it'll all boil down to, again, presenting this message to others. When you present this message to others, you will feel the joy. You will feel that connection with Krishna. You will feel enlivened. You will feel uplifted. And each one of us should think, how can I do it today? Oh, and most people will say, oh yeah, but I've got to go to the office. I've got to just work and so on and so forth. But in any condition, my Lord, positive or negative, even if work is a bit of a negative, in any condition, how can I present this philosophy? How can I emancipate these people? How can I give them the true knowledge that I'm experiencing? And the wonderful thing, when we do that, that knowledge becomes more and more revealed to us. The more we preach, the more we teach, the more we present this philosophy, the more we have realizations about it ourselves. The more we become convinced. Because you may be talking to your office colleague or someone in the street or a removalist, but actually what you're doing is you're also preaching to yourself. You're reaffirming your position. You're reaffirming that I'm a servant of Krishna. You're a servant of Krishna, my dear friend. I'm a servant of Krishna. Like that. And that brings great joy and happiness. And so we have to outreach. We have to teach, teach, teach. That is our mission here. Preaching first, samadhi second. See, she's trying to teach you. So I'll stop here. Any comments or questions, Prabhu? Yes, Prabhu?
You said preaching is a family profession.
Is it what?
Preaching is a family profession.
It's our family job, yes, exactly. Yep. And the reward is a great treasure like we would not believe. It's an amazing treasure. It's not some phantasmagoria. It is real. And you start to experience it yourself. And in so many different ways, in preaching, in our chanting, all of a sudden Krishna becomes relevant in your chanting and you start to feel euphoric in your chanting, in doing service to another god brother or sister or deity worship. You know, little bit by little bit, we become more and more engrossed in our service and Krishna consciousness becomes real. Sometimes you have the situation, you know, like I get the opportunity to worship Gaur-Nitai, and sometimes, you know, it just overwhelms you. And I'm sure, you know, worshiping the Shalagrams or Radha Balaba or anything, sometimes you're just there and you go, oh my God, I'm with God. Do you know what I mean? It's just like so overwhelming, and then it's gone. And then you keep on going. You want to strive to get that happiness again. There's no greater happiness than serving God and understanding our constitutional position. Any other comments or questions? Yes, Prabhu. Prabhu, could you not? Yeah.
You're worshipping the lesser gods, but you're worshipping the top one. Like people say, you know how in African family that is so different gods they were worshipping?
Yeah.
So they think we worship some kind of
that's right.
Like that. And also what to say or not to say better when they say you're sleeping.
You're what?
Sleeping after you die. And then the judgment will come.
Yeah. Yeah, there are many different philosophies, you know, and this is what is explained in that last part here. One should be attached to the root of everything and rather than be bewildered by the branches and leaves. That's the instruction that's given in this verse. So all those different sort of things, whether we, you know, have afterlife experiences or the tunnel or whatever else they want to manifest, they're the leaves and branches. We know that the ultimate truth is Krishna. In your predicament, and I know you're working with me in interfaith, that point, you know, of where they think that somehow or other Krishna is a lesser god or that, you know, it's some primitive understanding of God, it's just ignorance, you know. How to counteract that? You don't go head-to-head with them. We haven't got the capacity or the purity like Srila Prabhupada could have, like if you see when he's debating with Cardinal Delahue, you know, on that. He can do that. We can do up to a point, but we have to be very gentle in our way of presentation. But we just have to be respectful that this is a person that, due to their karma, they have a particular outlook on life and a concept of God. How can I come to them? How can I help them? And no force is going to help them. We can't get a gun to their head and say, "Chant Hare Krishna, we'll blow your brains out." We can't do that. Or Krishna is the Lord, can't you see the truth? No, they won't accept that. So the only way that we can do it, and I've mentioned this time and time again in my classes, is that we develop friendship. We develop friendship and we develop our own sadhana and that they see the joy in our belief. Like I said, Krishna consciousness, if we understand in all humility our position as servant of Krishna, will bring about joy. And they can't help but see that this person and their belief is making them joyful, is making them content, is making them humble. They're not striving for power. They're not trying to be the top dog in their organization. They're not trying to be the pope. They're not trying to be the bishop. They're not trying to be the rabbi in the center. We're not trying for that. We simply are humble servants. We each follow our own direction and our guidance by our spiritual master. So that thing of actually seeing us as being a happy individual is the greatest preaching that you could do. You don't have to counteract them. You just say, fine, whatever you believe, that's fantastic, you know. Let's work together and serve, you know, God. And you may think that my God is a lesser God. That's fine, no problem. You know, we just carry on. And there are different programs like chaplaincy and food distribution. Like one of the things that we're hoping to do, and I just got approval from Aniruddha Prabhu that we can do this. We've been requested by one of the councils to do a food relief program, Food for Life. Because especially now with the government being really heavy through reducing funding and, you know, for poor people, it's going to make it more difficult. Single mothers find it difficult to get meals for their children and so on and so forth. We're doing a program that we did many, many years ago back in Geelong. where there was a financial crash called the Pyramid. Remember the Pyramid collapse? A financial house in Geelong, and people had invested money into it, and then all the money was gone. And we were there, we had a centre there, and we were providing meals for people on a meals on wheels basis. So we're going to be doing that same thing because the council has requested. There are many people that fall through the cracks as far as getting a decent meal. So they're youth, homeless people, single mothers. They don't qualify for the usual Meals on Wheels program, but you know, we're hoping, and I'm going to be working with some of the devotees here, that we provide the meals just on a starting basis. It's a pilot program in that region. Now, we're going to be working with people of other religions, Salvation Army, Red Cross, the Anglican Church, Catholic Church, and so on, and we're going to seek volunteers from those different organisations to deliver the meals. We cook the prasadam, and it's similar to what we did with Father Bob. We cook the prasadam, and then volunteers take them out and distribute that prasadam. So, on a basis of friendliness, we're serving God. Because prasadam is no other than Krishna. Krishna is prasad. So they're helping. And we can't expect to change everybody's mind straight away. And I was speaking to Priyavrata about this too. We can't expect that everybody will all of a sudden take to Krishna consciousness and see Krishna as the supreme. Hopefully some will. But generally speaking, and that's what we were talking with Maharaj here too before, you know, that we have to do things in the community to allow people the sukriti that maybe next lifetime they'll be more inclined towards devotional service. So we don't need to have an immediate situation of, you know, finality. Yes, do you understand Krishna as God? No, we don't need that. We just let them believe what they believe, but just engage them in different service and associate with them on a friendly basis. Be very loving and be an example. And if you're that, then that will change people's hearts. And then they'll see, why is this? If they're sincere, if there's a little bit of sincerity in their heart, they'll say, why is this guy so, or why is she so joyful all the time? You know, why is that? What is she believing, you know? And then once they read this philosophy and compare it to the philosophy that they've grown up with, then they judge the two, just like we did, just like all of us. You know, I was born a Christian and I was questioning the faith. I was questioning the scripture. And then by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada, we got this information and it made sense. And then we followed that. So in the same way, we have to make that available to other people. Yes, Prabhupada? Yeah, did you hear that? Preach the gospel and if necessary use words. So it's more our actions and our dedication that's really the key. And the key to that is don't be lazy. Don't be lazy. In every aspect in our life, devotional life, don't be lazy. Be enthusiastic. You know, don't take your rounds for granted. Really focus on your rounds. Take your sadhana very much. You know, oh, I'm not reading Prabhupada's books today. That's laziness. Don't do it. Read Prabhupada's books. Study, learn, and get out there and teach. And pray for that opportunity. Let me meet someone today. There's nothing more fulfilling, you know, like, I'll finish up, but, you know, like 20 years ago, I preached to somebody. I taught somebody about Krishna consciousness. And, you know, that was it. I just talked to him. He was enlivened. I was enlivened. And that was it. 20 years later, at a Gaupurnima festival, this guy comes up. I couldn't even remember who it was, you know. This guy comes up and he said, do you remember me? I said, yeah. He said, you spoke to me about Krishna consciousness 20 years ago. And on that day, I became a vegetarian. I read Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, and I'm chanting Hare Krishna for 20 years. Can you imagine the joy that welled up in my heart? You know, and that's that sort of joy you can't get anywhere. to actually that a person has modeled their life from your intervention in their life. It's so fulfilling. That's what we strive for. That's what we're after. You know? So let's get out there. Let's really push on the preaching movement. Yes, Prabhu.
What is the use of the preaching if it's not, if it doesn't change the heart of the person? What is the use of the preaching if it doesn't spin the head? This is the person done, he has seen things in the Krishna Purusha. Now, how far from your experience, how far do you have to really apply? Because many times there was a race when Prabhupada was really bold and he was preaching. Now we have to take the other sentiments and
how do you know that it didn't have effect? How do you know that what you're saying is not having an effect? Can you see in that other person's mind what's ticking over in their mind? They may, what they project may be, I'm rejecting this, but inside they're going, geez, he makes sense, I'm projecting this, because they don't, it's false ego. So you don't know. You could be having a great effect on that person. And our mission is not that we were looking for results. Our mission is simply we're just presenting this message. You know, we present like seeds. We're throwing the seeds into the field and some will fructify and some will not. Prabhupada the same. He preached everywhere. You know, just go everywhere. Someone, it will hit someone. Like the other day, another thing, another interfaith thing, you know. I went to that gala ball of the premier, you know, and I'm all done up and everything. I told you about that before. Now, they put me next to this, Croatian person? Was it Croatian? Romanian, right? He hardly spoke any English. It was Orthodox Christian, you know, and they put me next to him and his wife. Now, I'm obviously a Hare Krishna, and, you know, because I was dressed as a Hare Krishna, and he started talking about his faith and my faith and everything, and we developed a real deep friendship. Now, I don't know what effect my teaching had on him. I may never know. But I know that he's had association. I did the best I could under the circumstances. Krishna guided me how I should direct and present the philosophy to him, because that's another thing. Krishna will guide and direct you, and leave it at that. We're not attached to the results. But who knows, like 20 years' time, he may come up, hey, do you remember me? I'm that Romanian guy that was at the gala ball, and what you told me, I haven't eaten meat since then, you know, because we were talking about vegetarianism. So you don't know. Just give over the results. Just simply preach. Does that make sense? Okay, we'll stop. Srila Prabhupada ki. Yeah.